Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Tua was the guy going in, and Trevor Lawrence just totally outshined him. And I mean, Tua threw two interceptions, one of them a pick six that really got Clemson going. And so this has sparked discussion, Rob Parker, on whether or not freshmen, kids out of high school, should be able to go straight to the NFL. Because – we heard all season, and I think it was ridiculous, that team, even former Alabama players, current NFL guys, were saying that Alabama could win some games in the NFL.
Not this year. Right? I don't know where they came up with that.
I mean, I read the article a little while ago, was saying that he thinks they could make the playoffs. I don't think they're thinking that now. But anyway, against this team that many thought might be the greatest college football team ever, a freshman, Trevor Lawrence, goes buck wild. And a lot of people are looking at the fact that he has to spend, according to the rules, the next 2 years in college before he can go to the NFL and get paid. A lot of people think that's wrong, a travesty, whatever you want to call it. And the truth of the matter is, it was reported today, is that it's not the NCAA's rule, but it's the NFL Players Association rule. They keep players in college at least 3 years before they're eligible to draft them, so that a lot of their players, you know, the average lifespan of an NFL player in the league is 3.5 to 4 years.
Right.
And so a lot of players, knowing that their window is that small, don't want to let the younger guys in and have a guy who's not as good as them yet but has greater potential take a roster spot from them. And I got to admit, I get some of that. I'm all for the free market. If you're good enough, then you should be able to play. But I do understand where the NFL players are coming from.
I don't understand it at all, because it's supposed to be about competition, right? So the strongest guys make the team, and the guys who aren't that good don't make the team. And
you can see in 2 years he's going to be better than me.
But
I wipe the floor with
him. They cut players all the time because of money. They're cap casualties. So you're not stopping owners from doing it, getting rid of people over money. It's a selfish way to look at it. Sports is the only place that penalizes prodigies. You're telling me that LeBron James shouldn't have been playing in the NBA at 18?
Well, he was.
No, but I'm saying, but according to the NFL Players Association, he wouldn't have been able to play if those guys, those knuckleheads, were in charge of the NBA. That's my point. Younger people, if you're a classic pianist, and you're this great prodigy, they don't stop you from playing at Carnegie Hall, Chris, at 13 years old. You know what they do? They embrace you. They put you out there, and you have God-given talent.
Well, entertainment in general.
You don't stop.
Michael Jackson was how old?
Yes. He was a star. He was the front man of the Jacksons.
Actors, actresses. And let's keep it real. Even in sports, you see in tennis, you see young people.
Thank you.
It 14 tends
years
to be
old.
The sports, football and basketball,
thank you,
dominated by African Americans.
Absolutely.
Hockey, you can get in young.
Steve Yzerman,
baseball,
Steve
if you're
Yzerman
good enough,
for the
you
Red
can get
Wings
in young.
It was in the NHL 18. He was 18 years old and in the NHL. My point is that it's wrong, and we need to stop stopping people if they're good enough and talented enough. You're okay to give an 18-year-old a rifle and say, go abroad and fight. But you can't play a football game? Come on, man. That makes no sense. And if you're not good enough or not athletically good enough or physically good enough, don't draft them. Don't draft the kid. The onus isn't on the kid.
No, the onus is on the
general manager.
I agree with you,
Rob. Now, hold on. Let me say this. Don't forget, Doogie Howser was a young kid. He was a doctor, wasn't he?
That was what your line? That was your line? You should have quit while you were ahead.
What?
Thank you, Iowa
Sam.
Sam,
thank you.
You were rolling until you brought up. You had to go one step too far.
But let me tell you this. I didn't look it up.
I was with you.
Youngest doctor in the United States? How old?
I have no idea.
Youngest doctor in the United States. Anybody know? 17 years old. That's the youngest doctor in the history of the United States. So my point, and then I threw out the other one. All-time baseball pitcher. Joe Nuxall pitched for the Cincinnati Reds. He was 15.
But that was because a lot of the players were in World War II.
No,
right?
There's no doubt. But he pitched. They didn't say, we can't pitch him. He's 15. He was good enough. They gave him a chance. That's all I'm saying. Stop stopping people based on no real reason other than selfish motives. If a guy is talented, he should have the opportunity. If he's not good enough, he shouldn't get the opportunity.
I think some of it, Rob, is also just a product of our system in America. Our sports, particularly football, basketball, baseball, are tied to – they're getting away from it now, basketball at least with AAU, but they're tied to our educational system.
Not in baseball. You go to the minor leagues.
No, but high school.
No, but that's
you're still
it.
Tied through. But that's – I mean, Larry Bird told me the day after LeBron James' first NBA game, Larry Bird told me LeBron James is the only player he ever saw who, after his junior year of high school,
was ready.
Could have been in the NBA. So my point is we're talking about kids, instead of going to college, being in the NBA. What about that rare kid every blue moon who's 16 who's good enough to play in the NBA? I'm just saying the reason we don't deal with that is because our sports system has been tied, unlike European basketball, it's tied to our educational system. We tend to go in those tiers.
I don't have a problem with even if a kid was really that great and he was 16 and he finished his education with homeschooling or whatever.
What if he didn't finish his education?
He doesn't have to finish it.
So you'd be fine with him going to the NBA?
College education, I'm for education. I always will say that. I have 2 degrees. I got accepted for a PhD. I'm all about education.
Right.
But everybody doesn't have to go to school, and everybody's not going to go to school. So I'm open to that, and I understand it. Their God-given talent might just be to play basketball and not to get a college degree or not to finish high school. It doesn't mean you're the worst person in the world because you don't have a degree.
Not at all.
And there's a lot of good people who have done a lot of good things without a piece of paper. So I'm not all caught up on that. Would I like to see everybody at least get a high school diploma? I think that's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I wouldn't make that the reason why I would stop a prodigy from having an opportunity to do something.
Well, I'm talking about prodigy. Think it should be free market. If the person's good enough, if they're good enough that Nike wants to give them a deal, then let them get the deal at 17. That's how I look at it. Free market system. Football has been, in my mind, it's a little different. Now, I look at Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, physically, he'll get a little bit bigger in terms of his body. You know, he's not going to grow anymore, but he doesn't need to. But he'll get a little bigger in terms of his body. But for the most, I don't look at him and say physically he wouldn't be ready. Most cases in football, I've thought there's no way a kid can come out of high school and play in the NFL. I mean, it would literally be dangerous.
But that would be on – that to me, that would be on – that's the excuse that they've always used. Oh, their bodies
– I don't even know that they use that as an excuse.
I've heard players, but there's always an exception to the rule.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions here and there.
And this is what we're talking about. I want you to make it very clear. I'm not talking about any player.
But you know what happens is if they change the rule – and again, I'm for
that. Don't draft
them. But a lot of kids would declare
that's
themselves.
Fine. And they don't get.
We saw it in the NBA.
Don't get drafted.
Guys that aren't close to being ready.
And they shouldn't be drafted. And that's and Chris, it's okay to make a mistake. You decide.
And they should be allowed to go back to college.
Absolutely.
Or go to college. That's the thing.
Why is there a penalty?
Why is there no penalty in declaring if I don't get drafted and I can still go to college?
I tried. It didn't work out. Why is there a penalty? That was, again, to scare you from making that attempt. So they would scare you like, oh, but you can't come back here. Oh, my God. No.
Well, and it was also in line with the amateur rules. And I'm not saying it's not, it's you know,
all,
garbage.
But it's all self-serving.
But all that is...
self-serving.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Arizona Cardinals, they just hired Cliff Kingsbury after a glowing 35-40 record at Texas Tech.
Wait a minute, he had a losing record?
35-40. His last three seasons were losing seasons, and four of his six.
So you know what that means? He should be promoted. He should get an NFL job. There's only 32 of them. He should be rewarded.
How in the world? How in the world?
Because they'll come up with
does
some
this
other,
make sense?
Because they'll come up. He's another one of those young guys who does well with quarterbacks.
That's
and this
what
is,
they're saying.
This is that's the selling point. You see what they got with McVay? McVay in L.A. with the Rams. That's what we want. We want him to be in his 30s. We want him to be offensive minded, and that's who we want. Those are the that's the new coach of. I don't know if they won any championships, but that's what we're looking for. That's what we want.
I'm baffled. I get it. You're right. And we read the last segment, and it was about we understand they're going for the offensive coaches.
It's a copycat league. We know this. Every time, Chris, they copy what somebody else is doing. And, yes, did McVay turn the Rams around? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, I'm sorry. From looking at the record, the resume, he's not qualified. He's a coach, and maybe he'll end up doing well.
And you think you,
but he goes in there with a 35-40 record?
Here's all you need to know. Why in the world do you think he took the job at USC if he thought he was going to be a coaching candidate for the NFL before the jobs, before they Black
Thank
Monday?
You. Thank
Why
you.
Would if you knew you had a chance at one of those jobs, you wouldn't have grabbed the USC job.
You're right.
You would have said, wait. Your agent would have said, don't sign.
You're right.
They didn't even consider that he had a shot at an NFL job. That tells you all you need to know.
And don't tell me, oh, it's Texas Tech. Because Mike Leach won at Texas Tech. Tommy Tuberville was better at Texas Tech.
What NFL job did he get?
I mean, and I'm just going to go there. You have five coaches, Black coaches, fired. One of them in Arizona after one year.
Which most people.
And what do you think they're doing looking at this and saying, hold on, this guy's 35-40 and he got a job?
Right.
And all these guys
He didn't win a national championship and then made the jump.
Right.
Or was one of the four finalists in the college football playoff.
I mean, come on. It's junk like that that makes you scream foul. That's just all there is to it. It's ridiculous.
I don't disagree.
And I'm not pulling against him, whatever. I'd love to see him work with Josh Rosen and make him something special in Arizona.
But make the play
fair.
But this
is ridiculous. Make it fair.
Fair. That's all
make
we're asking
fair.
For. Make
that's,
it
that's
fair.
It.
And the other thing we talked about, briefly, all the defensive coordinators who are around looking for a head coaching job, good luck.
Yep.
They're not interested in you.
Yep.
They want McVay, the next McVay.
Meanwhile, what's getting it done in the playoffs?
Right.
Defense.
It's defense, I'm telling you.
We all were caught up thinking it was going to be 50-40 games now. Well, defense is coming back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports and NFL Network analyst. We love having him on the show. He's got great knowledge. Bucky Brooks. Bucky, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. How's everything?
Everything is good. Hey, Bucky, we were just talking about the playoffs, and some players got mad that fans booed in Baltimore because Lamar Jackson wasn't playing well. And obviously when Parkey missed the kick in Chicago and whatnot, I believe, Chris and I both, that fans have a right to boo. And because they care, they're into it. They otherwise they wouldn't cheer or it wouldn't matter. Where are you on fans booing players if they don't feel like they've played well or they're not happy with the result?
I mean, they're obviously free to do whatever they want to do once they pay the ticket. I don't think it necessarily helps your team turn around their effort because you voice your displeasure at how they're playing. They certainly didn't want to play like that. But look, man, fans can do whatever it is they want to do. A lot of times if you're a player, you should kind of be locked in and focused where you don't necessarily hear them. But I think in a playoff situation and the way that Baltimore was playing, the boos and all of the other stuff, obviously it creeps onto the field, which is why you saw the players react like they did. But in most situations, you try and kind of block them out, and you really try and play for your teammates as opposed to really worrying about the fans and the others.
Bucky, I'm looking at this Arizona hire of Cliff Kingsbury, and help me out. Explain it to me, because he was 35-40 at Texas Tech. Last three seasons were losing records. I mean, I need some help with this.
And let me add this part in, too, that him and his agent were so confident he was going to get an NFL job that he took the USC job right away without even waiting for Black Monday to happen. So that tells you he wasn't thinking he was getting an opportunity in the NFL. Am I right? Are we right or wrong?
I mean, like, things are crazy, and the fact that he took a college job as an offensive coordinator,
right,
and the word was already out that NFL teams were going to be interested in him as an OC or head coach. Evidently, he got bad intel initially. His name kind of began to have a little buzz, and he decided that he would rather take an opportunity to even have to walk away from SC to get a head coaching gig. I just think it's unprecedented that someone who fails at a lower level gets a promotion the following offseason.
Right.
Well, you just don't see that. Like, I've never seen a situation where I am not good at what I do, but I get rewarded for it. And so, I mean, I understand that the league is changing and everyone wants the next Sean McVay, and they want the young offensive coordinator who has all these magic plays or whatever. But I just think there are going to be a lot of mistakes made because people are chasing a play caller as opposed to really trying to find a head coach. And I think when we look back in a year or two, a lot of these teams that are making these hires will be back in the market trying to find another guy that can lead their program.
And the other part about it, you 100% on that, spot on. The other part is the last thing you want to be now in the NFL is some defensive coordinator who's worked their butt off because they're not interested in you as a head coach. So those guys aren't even getting looked at.
No, and it is really twofold. Like, there are a couple of things when you talk about, like, defensive coordinators not getting an opportunity. I think if anyone has started looking at football since Thanksgiving, we've noticed that the scoring has come way down.
Right.
So even though we talked about, oh, it's this offensive revolution, at some point defensive coordinators always catch up. And we have seen, even this last weekend, I don't think we saw a team score more than 24, 26 points at the max.
No, you're right.
Coordinators.
Yep.
Yeah, defensive coordinators eventually catch up. And I know that everyone has said, well, yeah, but the best offenses weren't involved. We saw the Saints kind of come back to earth. We saw the Rams come back to earth. So as much as we talk about this league kind of being fueled by offense, it is. But the best teams can play on both sides of the ball, and you have to be able to play defense. And then I'm going to say this because it won't get talked about, and I always get hit up on Twitter about it. But the trend to offensive coaches means that it's less likely that we're going to see more minority coaches in head coaching positions.
We already know that.
Because of the way the pipeline is set up, most offensive coordinators and quarterback coaches are non-minority. And so if that is what everyone is desiring, you're not going to see many people of color ascend to the top spot. It's unfortunate because most of the coaches, particularly the minority coaches, are on the defensive side of the ball. We will see, despite the Rooney Rule and the efforts to make the league more diverse in the coaching ranks, we will see fewer people of color manning the sidelines as head coaches in a league that is 70% minority.
Now, we have five of the seven black coaches fired. How many black coaches do you think will fill those jobs? How many guys do you think? I know Jim Caldwell has been taken all over the country for interviews. I'm not so sure he's going to get hired, or is he just there to fill up the Rooney Rule qualification? But what do you expect? Who's the hottest name? Eric Bieniemy, right?
Bieniemy.
Is he going to get a job, do you think?
Man, I don't know. Like, I would like to think that I think maybe one. And the only reason I say one is I'm thinking that hopefully there won't be necessarily a forced shutout when it comes to the cycle. And I know automatically in my mentions it's going to be, oh, it's about the most qualified candidate.
Well, don't bring us Cliff Kingsbury.
You can miss me. Yeah, you can miss me on that now.
Right.
Like, that's not going to be the situation. So I think Eric Bieniemy has a chance, but the problem when it comes to Bieniemy is, like, people are going to say, but yeah, but he did he really call plays? Or did Andy Reid call plays or whatever? And so he won't get the bump that Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson got when they were the offensive coordinator. So I don't know if he'll get a job this go-round, but I am hopeful that either Chris Richard or Brian Flores may end up getting a job. But the longer they stay in the playoffs, the less likely it is that they'll get a job, because when you play a long time, you can't assemble a staff. And so a lot of times you're left, I don't want to say picking the scraps, but you don't have prime choices to fill out your coaching staff because everyone else has gone to the first bidder, those guys that get hired early.
It's the iCouple. We're joined by Fox Sports and NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks. And why is it, Bucky, that you mentioned black coaches kind of being funneled to the defensive side of the ball. Why is that?
I mean, like if we go back, Chris, it's really a
you didn't have black quarterbacks years ago.
Yeah, if you go all the way back, like Dr. Harry Edwards did a study back when I was in college. I mean, like we're talking about like early 90s, where it talked about most head coaches come from positions of centrality, meaning quarterback, center, middle linebacker, free safety. And so back in the 60s and even early 70s, blacks weren't necessarily permitted to play those positions because they were viewed as thinking man positions. And so when you don't have guys that are playing those positions, they tend not to coach those positions, so they're not necessarily in the pipeline. And look, stereotypically, some people will say that defense is viewed as more of an emotional, reactionary thing. You don't necessarily give the guru status when it comes to defense. And so it just is the way it's perceived. Offensive guys are viewed as kind of like the smart, high IQ guys, where it looks like on defense, we are rah-rah, let's go get it on emotion. And a lot of times, black coaches, unfortunately, on the defense of the ball instead of offense.
You were also talking about the offensive coordinators. When we mentioned Bieniemy, you know, he might not get that bump that some of these other guys have gotten. Matt LaFleur, I mean, he didn't light the world on fire in Tennessee this year.
But
I'm not saying he's not good, but what is, like,
he worked with
how do you think that'll work out?
I think it's going to be a struggle. I think I just had an opportunity to text a couple people that knew him, and they said, look, he's a bright offensive mind. He knows a lot of stuff about offense and how to put it together, play schemes and the like, but they questioned whether he was a natural leader of men. They said that he is not the most commanding presence that you would see at the beginning, at the front of the room, and that they have a tough time imagining a guy that may have had some struggles managing the offensive room being the leader of the team. That said, there have been some guys who have been able to be head coaches who don't have that. But what you have to do is you have to populate your staff with enough dogs, enough guys that can kind of have commanding presence where they can kind of control some of the stronger personality players that you have. And so we'll see what kind of staff he puts together. They're saying that he's going to keep Mike Pettine as the defense coordinator. I don't know. We'll just see how he populates the staff, because his coaching staff is really going to be the key to his success, because he is going to have to manage the relationship with him and Aaron Rodgers, young guy, older superstar quarterback. How is that going to work out? Because he has to be able to put him in his place and hold him accountable. We'll see if that can happen.
Hey, Bucky, we have 30 seconds. The team that I was most impressed by over the wild card weekend were the Chargers. All they keep doing is, especially when they get on a plane to fly somewhere, they keep winning. And they won in Baltimore, and they go into New England. Do you like their chances up in Foxborough?
I like the chance. I think they're the more talented team. I think they have all the things that you look for in a team that can beat New England. The thing is, can they beat the Patriots' mystique? The Patriots have always had a way of winning games in their place. And so, for me, the Chargers, can they go up there and just treat them like nameless, faceless people? Because if they do that, they'll knock them off. But if they kind of get awed and spooked by Tom Brady and the Patriots running out the tunnel, they will be another team that goes up there and lose despite having more talent on their squad.
All right, Bucky,
Bucky,
great
appreciate
stuff.
It, man.
Great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening.
And,
guys.
And Bucky, you were so good, I will not boo you for your performance, okay?
Hey, y'all have a good one.